I'm Adam, and welcome to The Dad Experience, a podcast where dads can connect and openly share stories. Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
I think it's, you know, especially for little ones, it's all about not making the pose the goal or not making an endpoint the goal. So there's no sort of gold star if you can balance on one foot for 5 seconds. If you try it, that's great. I think that's sort of the goal. And you know, for the adult in the room, it's really believing that, it's really modeling that and not saying, oh, well, try again, you can do it.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome again to The Dad Experience. We have another great show coming at you this week. On this show, we have Tara Stiles. Tara is the founder of Strala, the revolutionary approach to being, moving, and healing. Strala is practiced in more than 100 countries, and thousands of guides are leading Strala classes around the globe. Tara is also a well-established best-selling author, including books called Yoga Curse, Make Your Own Rules Diet, and Strala Yoga. On top of that, there's a new great book that she has out called Yoga Animals, A Wild Introduction to Kid-Friendly Poses. This is done through National Geographic, which, as many of our listeners know, and if you've read National Geographic, the photos are amazing. All the natural and nature's beauty that they share paired with the yoga aspect of it is just such a great book and something great for the whole family to enjoy. Welcome, Tara, to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, really excited to have you. Really excited to talk to you. I know that we've been, you know, using your book in our house and the best we can with the little ones, but we've been doing it with them, which is a lot of fun and reading about it and all those great things. But, you know, we like to start off the dad experience just asking who lives with you at home and what's the makeup of your household?
Yeah, so I've got my husband, Mike, and our little one, Daisy, who's almost three and a half, too. So, it's just us cruising around, and we're in Brooklyn, New York. So we're just, you know, doing the thing here.
Yeah, it's crazy. How are you guys? You know, I've been asking everybody that's been coming on since the whole, like, basically the country shut down. How are you guys been handling the kind of stay-at-home orders, and how have you been managing the time with the little one?
Thankfully we've been all right. We're in Brooklyn. So we used to live in Manhattan. We had a tiny little place. And so we have a bigger place here and some outdoor space. So that's been nice. You know, it's just been hard for her, obviously, not to see her friends. And, you know, we haven't been able to visit family and all of those usual things that get to happen. So, you know, thankfully we're able to spend time with her. We're lucky ones. We're not sick. We're just home doing that. So, you know, we've been taking some walks, find some green spaces just to run. She loves to run. So that's been nice, but just, you know, getting creative, just like everybody else and getting through it and enjoying the time together.
Yeah. That's what, you know, both my wife and I are educators, so we teach, so we're working from home. And what's been nice, you know, the hard part is not seeing your students and doing that thing and seeing the kids, seeing their friends and all that great stuff. But the nice thing is we've been noticing the little milestones that just kind of go in the wind, because nothing like walking. I'm not talking about that, but just like the stuff that just the growth and the language and just seeing how it just is changed even over these 3 months. It's pretty neat to see, because our youngest is, she just turned 2 in April. So it's pretty neat to see that kind of, you know, obviously at that age, it really happens much quicker, but still even at, you know, 3 and a half, you know, it's still pretty neat to see that. So that's been nice to be able to spend the time, because we're so busy during the school year. It's been nice to be able to spend that time with them and then experience that, trying to make light of a situation that's been pretty hard, I think, on everybody as a whole. So, so can you tell us a little bit about your book, Yoga Animals, and kind of, you know, just kind of maybe just tell us about why, how it came about and, you know, all those great things.
Sure. This is, you know, National Geographic's project, and, you know, what a dream. I think everybody is a fan of National Geographic, and obviously we are in our house too. And, you know, they contacted me about working on this, and I thought that was an amazing opportunity to share yoga with kids in a very positive way that's fun. It makes them feel empowered and confident, and sort of like they're learning another vocabulary, I think, just like reading, but they can find a few yoga poses, inspiration from the animals, and then kind of put it together themselves in a way, which is a fun way to learn yoga. I think so many adults learn yoga in a way where they feel like, you know, you're not flexible enough, you're not strong enough. There's a lot of this, you know, unfortunate misconceptions about yoga. So if we can share yoga for ourselves and for the little ones in a way that is more about having fun and building that confidence, that body awareness, then that could be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we know that, we know that yoga is great. I mean, I used to do, I haven't in a while since I've, you know, obviously through the book a little bit, but haven't in a while, but what are the benefits for children even with yoga? I know we know some about adults even, you could explain that, but what specifically is there, are there things that you've noticed or experienced through doing yoga with children as well?
Oh yeah, so much. I think what's so great. I mean, I think probably similar to your experience with education, it's so individual too. I mean, if a kid is lacking a little confidence, you see their confidence start to grow and expand because they can do something with their body in a physical way. If they're, you know, if they didn't imagine that they could bend a certain way or move a certain way, I really think that confidence is such a huge benefit for kids. And you know, the ability to be in control of your movements, to sort of have something be your own idea, the ability to calm yourself without being told to calm down, you know, having it sort of come from a peaceful place, that's their idea, from an internal place, you know, rather than being told everything to do every sort of minute of the day that we all identify with, you know, in our regular lives. So I think there's so many benefits, but I think it really is individual. With each child.
Right, right. So what would you say to a parent that, let's say, you know, for me, for example, if I'm working with my older daughter and she's getting a little frustrated, what tips would you give to a parent that might be wanting their children to experience this, but not make it a bad experience? Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, sure.
We know, you know, I know from my experience with yoga, it's like, do what you can do and kind of explore your body and know your body. But with children, it's not that easy to say that because, you know, they may not always comprehend that. So what are some tips maybe that you've learned?
Yeah, I think, you know, having the experience of doing it together, I think is huge. So instead of just opening the book and saying, okay, you do that now, kind of a spirit is, you know, there's a flamingo standing on one leg. And of course, everybody's going to fall over when they try to do that. But I think if you can get the moms and the dads and the big brothers and the big sisters and whoever's around to hold hands and do that, that becomes something. I've just noticed our daughter wanting to do that with us instead of do that alone in a way. And same thing with all the movements. You know, we'll look at the pictures. Sometimes we read the instructions. Sometimes we just do what the animal's doing or do what the photo of the other little kid is doing. And she does it and then I do it. So it's much more of a together project than this is something good for you that you should be doing. So I think when everybody's on the floor, it can even the playing field and make it a lot more fun for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been encouraging that to hear that and to see that other folks are doing that. You've this book, you know, have you seen or heard of anybody using it creatively or learned something new that maybe you didn't expect to kind of come out of the whole book with this?
Yeah, well, I love, you know, the National Geographic just has such beautiful images of animals. And I think it's wonderful to, you know, see a giraffe and to not just be so direct about saying, well, there's a giraffe yoga pose, but looking at how the giraffe just naturally reaches up and eats the branches, eats the leaves and stretches and moves, and just seeing the little ones kind of do that and invent their own movements and really embody that spirit of the giraffe instead of saying, well, this is the yoga pose and I need to copy this in my body. So I think there's such a great roadmap of taking that inspiration that I didn't really anticipate. I thought it would be much more directly about the yoga poses and doing them and feeling confident from the poses, but really the extra element of seeing the beautiful pictures of the animal just automatically allows anybody looking at the book to just kind of get involved and do what they're doing because it looks so fun. The animal is having fun and enjoying their life and doing what they need to do to survive and eat and rest and play, that it's sort of that intuitive nature of, oh, I can take care of myself too. And a kid can feel that and a parent can feel that. And it feels like a good thing for us instead of something that we should do that is good for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And kind of piggybacking with that and what you mentioned earlier with being on the same playing field, what have you experienced with like bonding with your children through yoga? Has it built those bonds more? Have you experienced anything with that or noticed through any of the readers experiencing that?
Yeah, well, with us, I mean, our girl gets dragged around the world to all these different kinds of yoga workshops and things like that. So it's part of her life. But I think it's more the spirit of seeing adults get on the floor is also something that just happens in the yoga room or it happens in our house. But just, you know, for me, it's a real kind of gut check of it's important not to, you know, just always be upright and talking to her and coming down and rolling around a little bit. So, you know, hearing from other readers and other families how they're doing this together as a family. And it's not just an activity to kind of check off the box of filling this 20 minutes of time, but it can really set the tone for the entire day in a way where you're feeling good, you're prioritizing, taking good care of yourself and nourishing yourself. You know, it can change the way you want to eat. You may start to cook together more, start to read together more, do other things that are also good for you, but because they're all of a sudden your idea and not, again, that thing that you need to do because it's healthy.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, have you experienced at all through any of this or heard from any of this that families are, do they usually read the book, you know, and utilize it page by page, or do they pick certain things out? How have you utilized the book? Is it a good idea to just kind of let them kind of decide what they want to do? Is there a process? What do you think? For all those folks that may not have the book yet or you know, are looking at the book.
Sure. I think, you know, the first time I did this with our daughter, we went kind of page by page, and I think it was the first time she saw it. So everything was new and fresh and interesting. But I think just like all of her favorite books, sometimes she wants to start at one chapter, pick a different book. I think with a book like this, each kind of pose or picture of an animal feels like its own chapter or its own book, even though it's all one story. So I think, you know, giving her the freedom to open it up and say, I want to do that one, or let's look at this picture today, becomes much more of a free form experience than, you know, really needing to do everything from the start to finish in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And my question for you, and maybe you know, or maybe you've experienced it, have you noticed, or have you heard of any others that have been utilizing the book? Have you noticed, has this helped with any of the, like, the sleeping factors, or maybe some of the activity levels throughout the day? Because, you know, I know when I've done yoga in the past, it's definitely kind of grounded me and it brings me to a centered place. Have you seen those benefits with children as well, or, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And just regular classes that I've led with kids, just seeing how it affects how they want to spend the rest of their time. It's sort of, you know, the activity is over, and then you just go back into your day with some activities. But this is really an activity when it's over. It changes you on some sort of a fundamental level, at least for a period of time. And then, so some moms and dads have been messaging me just, you know, on the internet about this book, and they've done a little bit of yoga, and then their little one is interested when they're in the kitchen cooking and they want to get involved, to get up on the step stool and kind of see what's going on, or they want to do it again at night, or it's more of this kind of good habit setting situation where one good thing leads to many good things, and, you know, can take care of a lot of the you know, trying to do things from the outside in approach when you're using a more of an inside out approach with yoga in this way.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, I'm kind of drawn from my experience and experiences with my family, but, you know, we know that yoga, it's important to do what feels right to you in practicing yoga. And we know that can be challenging. So how do we kind of explain that to our kids? I know we can say, well, if that doesn't feel good, maybe we need to adjust, but how have you learned to kind of maybe do it in more of a kid speak rather than, like, if you were helping me do yoga? Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. I think it's, you know, especially for little ones, it's all about not making the pose the goal, or not making an endpoint the goal. So there's no sort of gold star if you can balance on one foot for 5 seconds. If you try it, that's great. I think that's sort of the goal. And, you know, for the adult in the room, it's really believing that, it's really modeling that, and not saying, oh, well, try again, you can do it, like the girl in the picture. You know, I think that's really not what we're going for. We're just going for, you know, give it a try, have fun, enjoy. And if you open the book, if you give yoga a try, if you do it all together, that really is the goal, and the goal to feel better. But I think it really comes from the modeling from the adult in the room. You know, it's really easy to fall into the habits and saying, well, I want to do it exactly like the picture, so I'm going to try that myself. And then of course, the little one's going to say, well, I can't do it, and get frustrated. So we really have to, you know, watch how we're talking to our own selves and our own minds when we're, you know, spreading these things with the little ones, just like everything else, I guess.
No, that's a great tip, because I know, you know, we all do at times, especially, like, one, if we can get it, we get excited about being able to get a pose, you know, or two, we get frustrated because we can't maybe get the pose exactly right. And then that kind of, you know, that's a demonstration to our kids that kind of wears off and goes, well, they can't do it. I, you know, I'm the kid and maybe I can't do it. So it's good to remember that tip. And I think it's really, really important. So speaking of tips, what kind of tips do you have for us as adults, maybe getting into yoga, and then maybe trying to encourage our kids to join us on that journey?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, yoga is great in the way that you can do it every single day, especially, I mean, you have such a great understanding of how you use yoga to feel better, especially if it's, you know, whether you're doing other workouts or whatever's going on in your life. It doesn't have to be, you know, a hardcore thing. As long as you sit down on the ground, breathe for a few moments, roll around in a way that feels good. I mean, it's sort of like becoming a tree. If you do that, it automatically feels good to look at you, to be around you, and everybody's going to want to come and get involved. So I just know from my own experience and just sharing yoga in that way, that you really don't have to do much else besides start and take doing yoga in a way that takes care of you. And whoever's around is going to be super curious about, you know, why you feel so good and why you are so open and comfortable and how you're doing all of that. So I think it's sort of on this more subconscious level, but it's just, I want to be around that person because they feel good. So show me the way, daddy, you know, kind of a thing.
And kind of on the flip side with that, you know, we have obviously our major listening base is parents. So maybe, you know, from this book, they get encouraged, like, wow, I want to start practicing yoga. I've never done it before. What do you say to those people? Because this is something that I experienced when I was doing yoga. And I found a studio that we just kind of found through, you know, my wife was doing it and encouraged me to go. I had back problems. But the thing that's tough when you go as an adult for the first time and never done it is you're in a room with a bunch of people that may have done it before. What do you tell those people that may be a little bit self-conscious with that, especially from you having all the instructional background that you do? What do you tell those students? Because it's something that can possibly, you know, put somebody out, not intentionally, but just because they're in a group with everybody at different levels. And we know it's so individualized, but you're still walking into something feeling like, oh my gosh, that person over there is great. Or they're watching me. They're, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's the main reason why I started sharing yoga with people. I mean, I'm from a small town in Illinois. And when I started doing yoga, my friends said, oh, you're too good for us now. And that really was the reason I wanted to share with them, to show that, you know, it doesn't matter if you can touch your toes, it doesn't matter whatever you're doing, it's about feeling good. So, you know, thankfully now there's so much yoga. If you go into a place and for whatever reason, it's not comfortable for you, or it's hard for you to find your own self there, you know, you can probably go next door, or you can find a class online. You know, it's hard to feel comfortable if the environment is completely uncomfortable. I mean, a lot of these studios are, you know, 200 degrees. And if that's not your thing, you know, you don't have to force yourself to bow down to that way of doing it. And I think yoga is so broad, and it can be like, you know, finding that perfect pair of shoes. You know, if you're trying a pair of shoes and they're the wrong size, they don't fit, you don't say, well, I'm never going to wear shoes again. You just go and you try on a different pair of shoes. So I think, you know, with yoga, we get caught up in thinking, well, if I tried it once and I didn't like it, or I didn't like the place or whatever, it wasn't for me, then that's kind of all of yoga. But, you know, if you have friends, I think you could just ask your friends what kind of yoga they like, or what teachers they like, or if there's an online class, and then, you know, just kind of keep asking, and you'll ultimately find something that is a good fit for you, that does help you feel better. And, you know, thankfully we're just at a point in, you know, things progressing with yoga that there are so many options. Mm-hmm.
Is there something we should kind of look out for as in teachers or in programs, as beginners, or even as just folks looking for different forms of yoga or different studios to go to? Is there something that we should be looking for? Are there any red flags we should watch out for?
Sure. I mean, I think it's just, you know, for some reason, because yoga has this, it's so powerful, you feel good when you practice, that we get blinded. It's sort of like, you know, if you go into a restaurant and you don't like the food, you're probably not going to go back. But if you go to a yoga studio and you didn't like the yoga, you might go back because you might have felt like you should like it. So mm-hmm. I think it's sort of, you know, having our discernment cards up just a little bit more, and realizing that, you know, it's sort of on us in a way to, it's not about being judgmental. It's just about, you know, having common sense and knowing what you like and what you don't like, and what feels right, what doesn't feel right. And, you know, just having the confidence to try something else if it didn't make sense for you.
Right. Right. So, you know, how can yoga help teach our children techniques in like self-health, relaxation, and inner fulfillment? What kind of things does yoga teach to help boost those things in our children?
I mean, it's so cool. I feel like this is such a good time in our culture. You know, yoga really wasn't around, I don't think, when we were kids as much. You know, we weren't really taught it in schools and in books and things like this. So it's sort of, you know, such a head start of being able to get on the ground and connect with ourselves, and know that if we're stressed out from, you know, the day or school or whatever it is, we can always come back to this practice. And I think, you know, the more that we can share with kids that yoga is about a practice of feeling better and more connected to yourself. And there's no goal of being in a perfect pose. The goal is to feel better to you. It can become a real navigation system for all the stresses of life, or your physical pains, your physical aches, but also your mental worries and, you know, dealing with focus and you know, productivity and connection and being calm. It's sort of, you know, it seems ridiculous that it's this one kind of stop situation, but it can really help with so many different things depending on where your imbalances are. And, you know, if we can instill in kids that this is really a navigational system for life, because your challenges are going to change as, you know, as the years go by, as different class and school starts or different situations come up. And this can really, you know, improve your almost immunity to life in this way and keep you on a good path.
Yeah. From my experience too, I teach high school, and what's cool about it is we created a fit club years ago. It hasn't been around for a while now, but we used to do yoga with those kids, and man, they used to love it. They used to love coming in and doing it. That was probably our biggest day when we'd have students show up, is when they knew there was, you know, the yoga day. And it was just, I saw so much, you know, improvement in personality as well as just inner self. And it's such a powerful thing. Like you said, it could be so spiritual and, you know, intrinsically motivating. And it is, it's so neat to see that kind of happen with our kids. So we kind of have a reoccurring segment here at the Dad Experience. We like to ask our guests, things we can't wait to share or see through our children's eyes. Is there something out there that you experienced maybe as a child, or something maybe you didn't get to experience as a child that you can't wait to see and let them experience for the first time and kind of relive that, or, you know, kind of get to see it through their eyes?
Sure. Well, you know, being from a tiny little town in Illinois, I always wanted to meet as many people as possible that were different from me, had different experiences, different backgrounds, looked different, all of those things. And, you know, we live in New York City now, and that's super possible, but traveling around through different yoga events that we offer has been really cool, you know, since before she was born, to see how she can appreciate different people and not be afraid of the world, not be afraid of her own, you know, house and environment and what happens sort of out into the world of that. So, you know, that's something I always craved for myself, and it's sort of, you know, becoming second nature in her life. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, she can articulate that as she grows up a little bit.
That's neat. That's what a great experience. And it's so important. Like you said, that's awesome to see and kind of see that growing throughout. So we've heard a lot about the book. We've heard a lot about you. Can you tell folks where they can maybe find that book and how they can get it, and maybe where they can find you if you have a presence on social media and kind of follow what's going on with you?
Sure. Yeah. The book is called Yoga Animals, and it's by National Geographic, and it's available at all the usual book places and now the internet book places and bookstores, things like that. And I'm pretty easy to find. I'm Tara Stiles, and I'm on all the usual places. And actually, since the lockdown, I've been doing a free class every day on Instagram at 8 a.m. Eastern time. So that's been really fun to, you know, just have a community there and offer a space for anybody that wants to simply feel better. So we're almost at 100 days now, which is kind of incredible. So that's, we're crazy, just keeping that going. And everybody's welcome.
That's great. And we'll put all that information in our show notes so folks can find you and they can get directly to the book and go out and buy that book, because it is a great thing for the family. So, well, thank you so much for being here, Tara. I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us and talk to our listeners.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Yeah, don't forget that the Dad Experience, you can email us experienceanddad@gmail.com. If you have a question for me or maybe one of our guests, we can get those answers to you and share them on the next episode. Or maybe you have a show idea, or you yourself want to be on the show. So just reach out to us. You know, you can find us on all the social media as well, the Dad Experience Podcast. And until next time, thanks for listening to the Dad Experience.